Dr. Markell, thank you so much.
You say you'd like to prescribe this book for your med students, colleagues, medical researchers, and worried patients. Why?
To begin with, it has something of everything about American medicine. It's really a wonderful historical analysis of everything that's great and problematic about it. There's wonderful discussions of medical practice, of public health, of going to medical school, of the energy and focus you need to do research, but also the greed, the competitiveness, and the bad behavior that many doctors do partake in, that many human beings partake in every day.
And themes that can resonate 90 years later.
Absolutely. When I read the book the first time, I was a first-year medical student. I still have the copy. I bought it down the street at one of the used bookstores. And throughout it, I write, still true. And you will absolutely recognize, if you're a medical student, colleagues of Martin Arrowsmith, who you sit next to today, or if you're a patient, you'll recognize doctors that you may consult on a daily basis.
Tell us, just give us a sense of the story of Martin Arrowsmith. Who is he and why this story still rings true for us in 2015?
Sinclair Lewis wanted to tell a story of medical research, which no novelist had done up until that point. And you have to remember, 1920, 1925, when he was working on it, the stunning news was all about bacteriology, discovering the infectious nature of so many diseases that plagued us on a daily basis. So that was just as exciting to the average news consumer then as stuff about genomics and proteomics and cancer research is to the news consumer today. So Sinclair Lewis follows a student from college and medical school all the way through internship, his first couple of gigs in the profession, to his position at a famous research institute. It's called the McGurk Institute of Research. It's really the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research. And of course, the medical school and college that Martin Arrowsmith goes to is called the University of Winnemac, but it's decidedly based on the University of Michigan.
And did he go here to U of M or what?
No, he didn't.
How did that come to be?
Well, he didn't know. He knew a little bit about medical practice from his father, but he was linked up to a young bacteriologist named Paul de Kreif. Now, Paul de Kreif was a 1916 PhD graduate of University of Michigan. He worked with a great bacteriologist here named Frederick Novi. He then went into the Army and did some flu research and then ultimately went to the Rockefeller Institute. He got fired because he was so busy writing articles about the problems of medicine rather than doing research that his boss, a famous pathologist named Simon Flexner, fired him. And de Kreif decided he'd much rather work with fountain pens than test tubes. And depending on who you read, either the journalist H.L. Mencken or the editor of the journal, the AMA, Morris Fishbein, hooked him up, so to speak, with Sinclair Lewis. And the two hit it off. They both loved to tell stories. They both loved good writing. And they both loved drinking quite a bit. Paul de Kreif had a much hollower leg, I understand, than Mr. Lewis. But they decided that medical research would be their quarry. And so all the inside dope that Sinclair Lewis uses about medical schools, about public health departments, and about research in the big leagues, in the NFL of its day, for medical research, all comes from the memory bank or the experiences of Paul de Kreif.
So those who might be familiar, for example, with the University of Michigan Medical School might be able to go, aha, there is enough of a clear drawing of the University of Michigan Medical School under the guise of the University of Winnemac, where you'd go, I got that.
Yeah, if you're a history buff, you will be able to identify the dean who is portrayed in the novel is clearly Dean Victor Vaughn. And there's a few other doctors. One of the physiologists, Warren Plimpton Lombard, is there. Of course, Sinclair Lewis describes the University of Winnemac perfectly as U of Michigan. I'm saying this as a graduate. It's a Ford factory of education, and the products rattle a little or stall every now and then, but they know how to play bridge, speak Spanish, and all sorts of other things. So it really is a wonderful description of the University of Michigan circa 1900.
What lesson do you believe that Arrowsmith contains that needs to be or could stand to be relearned today?
It's that wonderful devotion to discovering truth that I find so fascinating, perhaps because I like to think I'm in that business. But the dedication one needs, the love of the topic that one needs to actually find truth, to discover, to produce new knowledge. But the other thing that's really quite dated in Arrowsmith is that to do that work is a great privilege. You are a privileged member of society and you don't make a ton of money off of it. In fact, if you do, that will slam the door on you in terms of your career in academia. Those lines have been blurred quite a bit in the decades since. And so all of my colleagues who have stock options in biotech companies, I would like them to read Aerosmith maybe a couple of pages at a time to remember why we're there in the first place.
Lewis wrote more stories, but his life didn't end well, did it?
No. He wrote several other bestsellers, Elmer Gantry, which was about the spiritual minister movement, the Chautauqua Circuit.
And made into a tremendous Burt Lancaster movie.
A wonderful film.
Yes.
And Shirley Jones won
an
Oscar,
right.
Best Supporting Oscar. And he wrote Dodsworth about the auto industry. And then he wrote several other novels that were bestsellers, but they got worse and worse and more rambly with each iteration. And, of course, he was an alcoholic, and he drank quite a bit and died just a month shy of his 60th birthday in Rome. He was living in exile in Rome and died prematurely.
You've been pleading with people for more than 20 years now to pick up this novel and read Aerosmith, so it would be a good way to say happy birthday to Sinclair Lewis.
Happy birthday indeed.
Dr. Markell, thank you so much.
Thank you.